Welcome back to another episode of Football at the Bar with your host, T.A. and G-Money, bringing you all the highlights, talking mess, and all the plays you shouldn't have missed.
What's up, everybody? This is Football at the Bar. We're your host. I'm T.A.
Uncle Chuck is here.
Let's get it. And we are here, brought to you by ATB Media Network, Football at the Bar. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been gone for the last couple of weeks. We've been on a slight hiatus. Unfortunately, we had a catastrophe hit the life. You know, things happen in life, as we all know. We had a huge fire at the house. So as you see, we're in a new setting. We're going to be here for quite some time. A big shout out to all the people that reached out to see, you know, what was going on, if we were all right. Everything is all right. The family is straight. Everything is good. But unfortunately, we are going to have to change this venue until we get everything back fixed and situated and what have you. But we don't need to dwell on that. We're just glad to be back. Chuck, this is good to see you, sir.
Absolutely.
You know, I missed you. I missed this. I missed us talking about this game. And there's so much that's happened, especially in the football world in the last couple of weeks. And so we're going to catch back up on it. So with that being said, hey, we drinking on that Claude Chantelier, that nice, smooth cognac.
Fine cognac.
You like it, huh?
Yes, sir.
Getting you on one?
Oh, man.
Feeling good?
Oh, man, I can't wait to get that right now, man. Can we get a good cheers real quick?
Oh, yeah, let's get a cheers
you
on.
Know, can we get one?
Cheers.
Yes.
Cheers, ladies and gentlemen. Have a drink with us, and let's talk this football. So let's go and jump right on in there.
Talk to
me. So we missed a couple of things. We missed free agency. So that's a big deal. And as we're quickly approaching the draft. So let's touch on free agency. So a lot has happened in free agency. Is there what are your thoughts on free agency? Is there a team that you really liked what they did? Is there a specific player that you feel went to the right place that's going to be a game changer for the team that they got picked up by? What are your thoughts on free agency?
Oh, man. Well, I think the one thing that I'm more excited about is the Eagles. Saquon Barkley. That's a big one.
I think that can change the game.
Absolutely. They were already, you know, they were already there. They were real close. But this kind of puts them in my eyes over the top. You got a guy you can give the ball. He can do what he do. You ain't got to worry about that. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to worry about having, you know, Hurts dropping back. You ain't got to put all that pressure on him. You can make the game way more balanced.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a problem.
When you look at it from an offensive perspective, that, you know, when you have Hurts, it's already a rock solid. He's not a phenomenal. He's not a world beater, but he is a rock solid quarterback. And then when you give him a strong running game, not a good running game like they had last year, but a strong running game with the weapons that they have on the outside, yes, unequivocally, it kind of reminds me of almost a poor man's version of the Ravens with Lamar.
Right.
And with Henry.
Right.
I mean, both of those dynamics are going to be tremendous. The difference is they're in the NFC. The AFC, Lamar and them still got to go through Mahomes. Yeah, but the NFC, when you have that same combo with better weapons than Lamar has, I mean, like you said, they're a team that is going to have to be dealt with. They're going to have to be taken extremely seriously to sit over here and defeat them.
Nah, true. True. I think that's a problem for the Cowboys. I think it's a problem for the Giants, a problem for the Redskins.
For the Redskins, their whole division.
Right. You shouldn't demand. If I'm the Cowboys, I don't even let them go. Like, I'm going to spend money just because you don't go to somebody in the division, especially that. That's worst case scenario.
And that's smart because it's not a lot of money. We're not talking about $20 million. We're talking about $10, $12 million. And with the cap going up, they could have afforded, especially a team like the Cowboys that didn't have a strong running game. Mm-hmm. That would have been the smart thing. But the Eagles weren't done with just the running game. You got to forget, they brought back Chauncey Gardner.
Absolutely.
Johnson from Detroit, which was a missing link. And obviously, they're going to be making some moves for their secondary in the draft. But, yeah, Philadelphia has positioned themselves very uniquely to have another strong team. That's a testament to their front office. I mean, we can't hate on what this man has been doing year over year.
They get the job done. They get the job done, definitely. I feel like that addition, the linebacker, Devin White, I want to say.
From Tampa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good pickup, too. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to pay him a whole lot of money. Mm-hmm. I think he was undervalued at Tampa.
Like, very much so.
You forget, you know, he was like the mainstay on the defense for a good 2 years when he came into the league and so on and so forth, Pro mm-hmm. Bowls. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you kind of fall off a little bit, and then they want to kick you to the curb because they don't want to pay you.
Right.
And I think that's what it boiled down to. So now you move over to Philly. Philly's defense was only missing a couple of pieces to shore it up.
And one of the pieces was a linebacker.
Right.
And
right.
So that linebacker piece was where their defense, where the hole was in their defense. And so to sit over and fill that hole with a cat like Devin White, that probably, like you said, feels disrespected by Tampa Bay not stepping up and paying him.
Mm-hmm.
He has a chip on his shoulder. He has something to prove. He wants to do something. And again, the team being set up, knowing how far they can go. Yeah, it's exciting.
Nah, that's a good deal right there.
You know, for me, I'm over here liking what Tennessee did, and Ray Cawthorn, which is the GM for Tennessee. I mean, they quickly tore this team down and built it back up aggressively through free agency. Mm-hmm. They had a ton of money available
they
to
did.
Them, and they sit over here, and in my opinion, spent it in the right way. They sit over here and got Ridley.
Good pickup.
Yeah, they got Ridley. Who else have they got?
They made the trade from the – they got Snead.
They got Snead from Kansas City, yep. Which was the huge – that's the most recent one.
Right.
Which was huge. So you lock up that defense. You got the offense ready to go. Mm-hmm. You got a quarterback on his rookie contract. You already have Hopkins there.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of running backs, they got a decent running back in free agency as well.
They got a guy from the Cowboys. He moved over.
Yes.
There.
I can't even think of his name right now, but yeah, my man from the Cowboys that we all pick up on our fantasy
thinking it's gonna happen.
That sit over here and he didn't do nothing last year, but that was coming off of a broke leg.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a year removed from that. Tony Pollard.
Yeah,
he was a year removed from that, and then they also have
right the rookie from last year.
Who was nice
right now? Oh no,
he was nice.
So
you have a great 1-2 punch at running back.
Right.
You have your wide receivers where they have. The cat that they got a few years ago, I can't think of his name, that hasn't been playing well, but you move him into the slot because he played in the slot in college,
right.
And that's where they drafted him on as a slot production. They tried to move him outside. He's not an outside wide receiver, so you got him in the slot. You got Hopkins on one side, and you got my other man, Ridley, on the other mm-hmm. side. You got a team right now that literally – is sitting over here and is going to be able to compete at the highest levels of the AFC, hoping that the quarterback
growth
does what, right. His quarterback has to grow. But it's so funny when teams have a powerful quarterback like Mahomes, like my man from Tennessee or from the Texans,
mm-hmm.
you see those divisions start ramping up.
True.
And what I like what Tennessee is doing is they understand the urgency of ramping up quickly. You know, they're in an arms race going up against the Texans.
Absolutely.
So you got the Texans quarterback that came out like gangbusters last year. You know he's the real deal. You know he's a top five quarterback already in the mm-hmm. NFL after his first year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so they said, if we don't sit over here and get on it and make it happen right now, we're going to get lost in the sauce.
Right.
And we saw that happen, the same thing in AFC West with Mahomes. All of them have these arms races. They were all trying to sit over here and bring in as much talent. The Raiders brought in Adams. Yeah. You know, everybody's trying to bring in all this talent to compete with Mahomes. Well, they're doing that in the AFC South. Tennessee is
absolutely.
To compete with the Texans because – the Texans out of nowhere. Everybody thought they were going to be still a basic, and Stroud came in there one
real
of the very best rookie seasons we've ever seen. And so Ray Cawthorn, very smart, knowing that this is a dude we're going to have to deal with. If we don't get our team straight now, we're 4 or 5 years out the game. We're not going to be able to compete. And so he's going for it, and I respect that.
Nah, I agree with you completely. I think he's looking at it like we got to accelerate this process
mm-hmm.
Because you're moving away from Tannehill. You're at this point just saying, hey, you know, we're going with the young guys. You know, we're going to let him have a team and let him go. I think you gotta. Anytime you have a young quarterback, you gotta build around them.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Just because of cost.
Yeah, just because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of thing about it, I was just thinking about Caleb Williams. You're going to Chicago, and I was looking at how the Chargers are kind of just letting everybody go. And I'm looking at, man, so you step into a situation where you're playing with two solid receivers in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen,
which they just got in.
You just picked him up. Mm-hmm. You got a good tight end. And Kmet. Yeah, mm-hmm. You got a good tight end. So you're stepping into a good situation. And I think a lot of young quarterbacks, you don't step into that type of talent.
Rarely ever.
Because your team was a shitstorm.
The only reason why they're not is because this pick is not their pick.
Right.
This pick is the Panthers' pick.
They made a great business
right.
move.
Right. And nobody expected the Panthers to be, again, the number one pick. And
right.
So, unfortunately, Fields had to take the L on this whole situation. But yeah, Caleb Williams, even though I don't believe he's that generational deal like everybody else believes he is, mm-hmm. I do think he's good.
Okay.
I don't think that he's going to completely fall by the wayside. I just don't think he's going to be generational like Mahomes. But he has enough around him with that defense that came around at the end of last year to where they're going to be competitive. So now you take the NFC North with Minnesota, the Green Bay, the Detroit Lions, and the Chicago Bears, mm-hmm. which it kind of seemed like Detroit Lions were pulling away and Green Bay was right behind them.
Right.
Now you have a big three.
Right.
And then let's see what Minnesota does, because they're sitting over ramping up for the draft, and they've accumulated two first-round picks to sit over and put together to go up.
See if they might want to. I think, you know, this is a possibility.
No, they did. No, it's not a possibility.
You think it's there.
That's the deal.
As far as moving up?
Because it's cheaper to sit over here and give two people two first-round, lower first-round picks in 1 year than it is to give three first-round picks over the course of the next 3 years. You understand what I'm saying?
True.
So this is a tactic that they do. You know, their GM is out of Harvard. His name is Kwesi. Super brilliant cat in terms of the numbers. And so this dude is sitting over here trying to step up. Now, the problem is who they're going to get in the draft. We're going to talk about that a little bit, who they're talking about getting in the draft. But all of a sudden, the NFC North went from one of the least competitive, or what was perceived as one of the least competitive divisions, mm-hmm. to now one of the most competitive divisions, very similar to the AFC Central.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it the AFC Central or the AFC North?
You talking about the North then?
No.
You talking about with the Bills and?
No. I'm talking about with that. So I'm talking
about
Central.
The Steelers.
With the Steelers.
Baltimore.
I mean, yeah, Baltimore, Cincinnati.
Yeah,
I mean, that's an absolutely gauntlet of a division to go through. And the AFC, or the NFC North, is kind of set up to be the same type of very different in terms of conference or divisions, but set up to be a just as difficult to see who's going to be the winner. So, yeah, I like that. I also like the Texans. I like what the Texans have done. The Texans have sit over here and got lucky and got Shroud mm-hmm. in that second. It's so funny. The previous coach, I can't even think of his name, the brother that sat over here thought he was going to win that last game to get them the second seed, the second pick.
Uh-huh.
And everybody thought that he screwed him a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
By winning the game.
But, man, hey, they don't even understand how blessed they were, because as much as we love my man from the Panthers, he's just a little bit too light mass. He's just a little bit too slight in the frame to be extremely effective in the NFL.
Right.
And so they were able to get Shroud mm-hmm. in the second pick, and the Texans are off and running. And I got to give credit where credit's due. The general manager, who I'm not a big fan of cast-offs or individuals that have cycled out of the Patriots, because their general manager came from the Patriots, and I didn't like how they did business the previous 3 years. But I do believe they got the right coach.
Mm-hmm.
They have obviously the right quarterback, and they've been doing the right things to give themselves a tremendous amount of liquidity for the free agent market. And they sit over here and they've accumulated great players like this one and that one and this one. So they have a group of great players to go around with Shroud.
Mm-hmm.
The wide receiver crew.
They're looking good.
It's looking good. With Nico Collins, Tank Dell's mm-hmm. coming off of injury. They got the other cat, I can't think of his name, who had some bubonic games that came from Cowboys. I can't think of his name. But they have a nice team. That AFC South went from one of the least competitive divisions to one of the most competitive divisions.
And they picked up Joe Mixon.
So now that AFC South, you got the Texans that are the reigner. They won. You got Indiana that Anthony Richardson's coming back. You got the Texans that have reloaded.
And Jacksonville.
With Trevor Lawrence. So funny how this NFL can turn right on its head and you can go from the least to the greatest or to one of the best just like that. Super excited about that. Any other moves and free agency that you want to highlight that really stood out for you?
I think that, like I said before, the thing that stood out to me as far as just the poor moves. Well, we can talk about, of course, the easy thing. I think as far as your boy Kurt, you know, your favorite quarterback. At the end of the day, I think he's going to make Atlanta a lot more, that's the word, we can say sexy. Meaning, with the weapons, you actually get to see what an offense looks like because they haven't had anybody to pull the trigger. And not to say that Kurt is the greatest quarterback in the world.
Kurt's a rock solid quarterback.
But he's solid.
But it's hard to say, but do we know he's going to really be solid coming off of an Achilles tear at 36 years old? It's just like saying the Jets are going to be great now with my man coming off the Achilles. Achilles is tricky.
True.
In your late 30s.
I agree. But the only reason why I'm saying it's different for them is because none of them are scrambling around anyway. Aaron Rodgers, maybe. I feel I'm a little more concerned from Aaron than I am Kurt, because Kurt never really moved in the pocket. He drives back, he throws the ball. And the fact that he has a lot of weapons. You got the tight end who we never really got to see what he
Pitts.
Was going to be.
We never Pitts. Got to see who Pitts really was going to be.
You got your boy Drake London.
And we know he's a dog.
And we know what Bijan is. He's a dog. Mm-hmm. So, I figure you when you put pieces around somebody, all you do is elevate, the whole, some of the everything at that point.
I agree.
You know,
that's going to strengthen the team elevated to the playoffs.
Right. I think they might. Maybe you do. I mean, their division is not the toughest division.
No, it's one of the worst divisions.
Exactly.
So I unequivocally feel that's going to – Kurt was the piece to get them into the playoffs. My concern is that, Arthur Blank, who owns the team, who is the founder of Home Depot, he ain't getting no younger. So just like Cowboys or Jerry Jones, he's not getting any younger. He's getting older and wants to win one more championship before, he goes on to grace. When you get that old, I don't see how you don't shake the dice and sit over here and look for the ceiling versus the floor. And I believe Kirk Cousins is a floor play and Justin Jefferson would have been a ceiling play. And so it's challenging with that. But sometimes you sit over here and just say, hey, I don't want to go out boo-boo to fool. And when Mahomes in the league, I don't even know if we can even win the Super Bowl. So why don't we just be respectable for the rest of my life and make some playoffs before we start worrying about winning a Super Bowl. But again, my thought process is a cat that's 36 years old coming off of Achilles tear and you feel comfortable paying him $45,000 guaranteed or $45 million guaranteed year over year, but you didn't feel comfortable trading for Justin Fields and only having to sit over and spend a 6th-round draft pick. And because he is having – the excuse is his fifth-year option is coming up, which is only going to pay him $25 million, and that's why they didn't go with Justin Fields. In my opinion, I think in the long run, that's going to come back to bite them in their ass. Mm-hmm. And it's funny what happens. Everybody, out here is demonizing DEI, diversity, and inclusion. And we don't want to talk about any of that. But you look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers that have a general manager named Omar Khan. Mm-hmm. You have a coach. That's of African-American descent, and you have a team, a leadership of a team that is diversified, that was able to sift through the bullshit and sit over here and see the value that they were going to be able to extract from Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And so you have them two down there. And so we know Tomlin doesn't miss the playoffs. You know he doesn't have a losing season. So he hasn't had a quality quarterback for, what, 6 years maybe? Because Big Ben's been a stone cold. Well, he was a stone cold his last several years. They actually gave him a contract hoping he would say no to move past it. He was like, no, I'm going to take that contract. So you're talking about 5-6 years. This coach has not had a real quarterback, but has been above 500 or above each one of those years. You give him a player like Justin Fields, that where you can start tapping onto that ceiling of what Justin Fields can bring you. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, Justin Fields ran for more yards than even our last year's MVP.
And he's only 24.
So, you know, when you think of how important it is to have diversity of thought in an organization so you can sift through the bullshit and actually see the value in players that are out there and not sit over here and say, you know what, I'm going to go with Cousins and be safe. I ain't never seen safe win. I had never seen somebody who wasn't really willing to go after it win the big prize. And so that's the problem with Atlanta. They're not going to win the big prize.
I don't think so. But I think it, like I said, I think they're going to be a little more exciting with their work.
Last year, for sure.
So anything that you give them above what you gave them last year is going to be a win. You're going to get more fans in the seat. You're going to make some money. I'll say that real easy. The thing that I can say about Justin Fields that for me is a little alarming, just a little, was that at the end of the day, nobody wanted to take a chance. Like, I'm not saying that is a, you know, that.
Well, we can't say nobody. Somebody wanted to take a chance.
If he went for, you know, a conditional four that was started off pretty much as a six, that's nothing. So, you know, for even the teams that don't even have a quarterback, like if I'm Minnesota for a six round, should I give you a five, you know, right now? Or any of these teams that might be a little iffy right now. So, for me, I'm like, if everybody feels this way or it's looking like it now, you know, we already know how the NFL gets down sometimes.
But this is what the media will make us feel like. They will reduce the value of one player to make another player look great. But we have to look at it in its totality. We know the cornerback that Snead was one of the best quarterbacks.
One of the best.
What did he get traded for? Not even for a pick this year. He got traded for a pick next year and a seventh round, late last round swap.
Was it? Did they give? I think they gave up like a two.
No. It was a three for next year for 2025.
Okay.
And a seventh round swap.
Okay.
And he's top three, top five.
He's definitely
cornerback,
top five
quarterback. Absolutely. So what my point is that when the money of the contract is involved, it reduces the value of the trade compensation, but that doesn't reduce the value of the player.
I agree.
And so again, this is when you're cutting your nose off to spite your face, when you're willing to pay Kirk Cousins, is a 36-year-old coming off of an Achilles tear, $45 million guaranteed, but you have issues with paying Justin Fields, who has ran for more yards than any quarterback in the history of the NFL.
I agree.
And was just talked about on ESPN just a couple of years ago as an MVP candidate. And this is an individual. This was a quarterback that had three different
coordinators
in his first 3 years. And do you forget what they were talking about Daniel Jones? And Daniel Jones, oh my God, we can't give up on Daniel Jones. We can't give up on him. We have to pay him $140 million because he never had any weapons and he had all these different coordinators. So we have to give him a chance.
So we can
make that argument for Daniel Jones that we know is a fucking stone cold mystery. But Justin Fields, we don't know because the NFL, we can't get caught up in what these individuals are saying about us, because what they say about some individuals are not what they say about others.
I mean, that's fair. The only thing I'd say about it is the key thing you brought up is he ran for more yards than any other quarterback. I'd rather have my quarterback talking about how many yards he threw for. But that says to me that he has talent that nobody else really can do, which is you just got to build around it and design something for him, as like Lamar, that worked.
I was gonna say, who was the second? Who was the number two one? Right. Like, yeah, Lamar. And whatever. What did he do? Win two MVPs.
But you got to figure something out that works for him and stop trying to, man, you know, and build some consistency.
If the previous team didn't do that, that's not a an indictment on that player.
Right.
That's an indictment on the organization that he came from. Absolutely. That's why Caleb was over here iffy about he was about to strong arm if he was going to even go to the Bears.
Right.
Because, and if it wasn't for Poles, the general manager, making sure this cat was feeling comfortable coming here, he wasn't going to even go there. So my whole point is that can't be on Justin Fields. What I do like is, again, you have a general manager and a coach that had the wherewithal to sift through the bullshit, mm-hmm. Through the veils that they try to put over players to designate their value and sure. try to lower their value. They know they're going to take advantage of the low value now. But let me tell you something. Justin Fields will beat out Russell Wilson for that job before the end of the year. Wilson might start the season. The one thing I can guarantee you, write down, take a picture, he's not going to finish the season as a starter. No! Well, when you got Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, as much as I love him, he's barely 6 feet. He's 30-something years old. He ain't been to a Super Bowl or done anything significant in the league in over a decade. And then you got this young whippersnapper over here that's sitting over here and saying, this is my last lease of life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give everything I got. And you don't think that this man is going to beat out Russell Wilson, who's sitting on a couple $100 million with Sierra in his bedroom?
Come on, you know this man is going to sit over here.
Hey,
but this is the last hurrah. Who don't want to go out, you know, like the
this
like
not
the
his last fight. Hurrah.
Who, for Russell? It's
Russell is going to be traded next year. He's going to be somebody back up.
I don't think until he does.
He's going to be somebody's backup.
I think Sierra whispers in his ear. It's time.
But Sierra says, I can get $10 million.
More? He ain't getting $10 million.
For me, a backup.
Hell no.
What did your team just pay, oh boy?
They were the laughing stock of the league.
Woo.
Speaking of some of the worst teams, Denver is the
no, 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 that's not your team. That's not your team.
Who? What you talking about? The Raiders?
Who did they just pay $15 million to?
Who do we pay 15? I don't know.
Who's your quarterback?
Who?
Who's your quarterback? You tell me.
That's a to-be-continued story. Well, Let's say that.
So I'm about to break news, and it's going to be here, and it's going
to
be recorded.
Let me
tell you something.
Talk to me.
You can write it down and take a picture. You heard this here first. If they don't, remember I told y'all this.
Uh-oh.
Remember I told y'all this. If they sit over here and rock with Gardner Minshew and old what's the other quarterback? The just come off of O'Donnell or
yeah.
Is O'Donnell?
Uh-huh.
Gardner Minshew and O'Donnell. If they don't sit over here and get another quarterback in the draft, you know what they doing?
What's happening?
They're sitting over here trying to sandbag because who do they want next year? Who do they want next year?
Here you go.
Who do they want next year that's coming out?
It ain't nobody.
Sador. You gonna tell me Vegas don't want a Sanders?
Come on, now.
Vegas don't want Deion?
That's showtime. That would
come
be,
on,
that would
buddy. He's gonna be the number one pick.
I don't know.
And Deion's already talked about, I'm going to dictate where my son's gonna go. You gonna tell me he don't want his son to go to Vegas inside a dome in Vegas?
Oh, if he can handle it.
But I'm about to go put to Vegas and put money on it right now.
For real? Vegas will make you or break you, though. You realize that.
What I'm
Ruggs saying, can't handle
well,
it.
Well, what I'm saying is that if you sit over here, if they don't get a quarterback, then they want to sit over and sandbag, and they're going to eat another tough year.
You think so?
To get Sador next year. Because Sador is, wherever he's going, business has gone up.
Absolutely.
And we know the Raiders, the owner, is not a rich man. I mean, he's rich.
He's a billionaire.
But he ain't rich.
I mean, he has levels to this.
It's levels to this. So you sit over here and he says, bring that Deion Sanders church to Vegas.
That's a lot of swag.
And this dude is sitting over here in the games wearing a watch, churching in the camera.
Man.
That's all Vegas.
Man.
to raise the value of that organization. It down and take a picture. If they don't pick up a quarterback and we're going to roll with Gardner Minshew
and
O'Donnell,
they was this close to the playoffs, though.
If they don't pick up Penix in this draft, because Penix is a perfect quarterback, they want to hand the ball off, they want to grind the ball and throw deep. That's exactly what he does.
So? You think that
if they don't pick up Penix, it's all a setup for Shadoo. I'm just waiting on the draft. I will be sitting over here and going to put $500
in Vegas
in the next few months that the Raiders are going to draft
Shadoo.
And you know what the odds on that over a year out or about a year out?
Man, that's good money.
Man, that's good money. I'm going to crack it, and I'm going to be sitting over here with the money all right. I think that's bullshit, right, but I'll be all like this, like
right there
with the camera, with the cash right here on the side of the head like this. But watch
that's me. A good bet. That's a good bet. That's a good bet.
You heard it here first.
Look, man.
If it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make
absolutely
sense.
Absolutely. The only thing I'm going to say to you real quick is, as a Raider fan, I don't want to live through none of that bullshit. I'm going to work with O'Donnell and, Gardner Minshew getting this little 15. I ain't mad, man. I ain't never mad at people getting their money, but $15 million for
$15 million for Gardner Minshew. For Gardner Minshew. $15 million.
$15 million.
But your $15 million really ain't no money for no quarterback. So that's all I'm saying. Like, they're not serious. If they don't get Penix, they're not serious about winning this year. Because Gardner Minshew ain't never won. When he was a backup for the Colts.
Jaguars, wherever.
You know, for the Colts or for the Jaguars.
Yeah, wherever.
He didn't do that good. He was a 500 quarterback at best. So if they could be 500 quarterback, sit over here and be right there around the 11th, 12th, or 13th pick, just like they are this year, and sit over and say, I'm going to give you this one plus two more first-round picks, and I get to get Shadoo. And Deion's already said, I don't give a fuck who's in front. I'm going to dictate where my son goes.
I got
and, you. And he's being battered on Instagram and X and Twitter and all that. That's so disrespectful. Why was it disrespectful when Eli's daddy
and they did
sit over and said, we're not going to San Diego. When old boy from Denver, what's the Denver quarterback name from back in the day? John Elway.
Oh, John Elway did.
When his daddy said he wasn't going to go to the ball. So it's all right when they do it. But when Deion Sanders, one of the greatest NFL Hall of Fame players does it, then all of a sudden it's a problem.
But
let me tell you something.
It's coming.
It's coming. Just put $100 on it. Just make that back with me and get this money so we go church.
Speaking of these picks, though, what you think is about to happen with this draft? Who you like?
Well, before I talk about who I like, I want to talk about who the league has got fucked up. And Harbaugh, I don't know what type of mystical bullshit. This motherfucker must know some voodoo or something, because he said a couple weeks ago J.J. McCarthy was the number one quarterback, even though he's throwing 10, 12 passes in the game. And all of a sudden, he's the number one quarterback in the draft. And these motherfuckers don't believe it. And he just went from the sixth-rated quarterback till just today on Twitter. They're talking about Washington Commanders are sitting over here and doing J.J. McCarthy.
Wow.
And let me tell you something.
Wow.
I hope they do. I don't care nothing about the Commanders. And any other team that I don't care nothing about, go get them. Go get his sorry ass. What's the dude who was a quarterback for the Jets?
Who? You talking about Zach?
Zach. I told my son when
he
was drafted.
He was drafted.
I said, this dude's about to be boo-boo. This dude's a stone cold mystery. Stone cold. And he's been a stone cold. And let me tell you something. J.J. McCarthy is going to be a stone cold.
Terrible.
But if he was great, this coach ain't boo-boo the fool. You tell me if you had Mahomes, you was going to not let Mahomes pass the ball for a whole half when you up by 30?
A whole half. They played Penn State 30-something times or whatever it was.
Man, come on. You don't do that when you got a real one.
Yeah, you got a stallion.
So don't tell me that this dude is a deal. Actions speak louder than words. You can't sell me on that bullshit.
I agree.
So he's selling everybody in the league trying to take care of his boy, and they believe in it? Hey, buyer beware. Redskins get them. And I love Magic, but you a fucking clown by even letting them do that. And we're going to take a Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
And we're going to say, oh, no. We're going to get this Mickey Mouse who sit over here and threw the ball 10 times in the game.
Right.
This is the dude that we're going to sit over here and get over this Heisman Trophy winner. Hey, handle your business. Church on the move. Because if I was in the league, if I was going to the league, I'd sit over and say, I don't care where I get picked up at. Just bring me to a team that wants me.
Yeah, in a good situation.
Just want me.
But the truth, I think they go hand in hand, though. Because you're not in a good situation if the team don't want you.
That's very true. But sometimes the team can want you, like how they wanted my man from the Panthers, and it wasn't a good team.
You know
what I'm saying? But I'd still rather be in that situation where the team said, no, they drew a line in the sand, I want this cat.
Right.
And we can go through the tough times together because we're going to build to the great times.
I'm committed.
Just be with me because you really want me. And Jalen Daniels, I'd sit over here and be looking at the Washington Redskins, Washington Commanders, like you were stone cold if you was even thinking about J.J. McCarthy.
Over me, huh?
Ugh. It disgusts me to even think about that.
But it happens. It happens
but,
a lot.
But who are you excited about?
I'm excited about these receivers.
Man. Which one? It's 20 of them.
Man, that's the whole point. That's why I'm so excited about them because there's so many.
Because there's so many of them.
Usually, it's about a good five. Mm-hmm. You know, you might get a good five, 3 to 5 that you're really excited about. But I can say, as far as the whole first round, anybody from you got Neighbors, you got Harrison.
So let's talk about that. So Harrison has been the foregone conclusion as the number one wide receiver, but now all of a sudden they're talking about Neighbors being better than him. What are your thoughts on that?
Hey, I know he put in work. I can definitely say that. I watched him. The film don't lie. Boy, he's an animal. He's a monster. And I think the thing about Marvin Harrison is you got the name. You got the name, so that's going to mean something from the get-go. Mm-hmm. But I think Neighbors put in work every year.
Remember, this has been his first breakout year. So that's where the concern is
No. This is what I mean by work. You might not have been the number one, but as far as being maybe the number three, you still put in work, meaning it was obvious that you're there. Mm-hmm. You're there. And I think it happens at Ohio State as well.
Right.
Marvin Harrison wasn't number one from day one, but it was clear
He was different.
I think it was the same way for Smith. What's the dude from Seattle?
Smith and Jigba.
Yeah. It was the same way. Mm-hmm. You're in a group of these talented receivers. So at the same point in time, it's going to be next person up, really and truly. But when you step on that campus and you watch the film doesn't lie. You can tell at the end of the day you're different. And all these cats have been like that. And that's the reason why I'm so excited about it, because I'm like, man, from the day you guys stepped on campus, it was a thing of all y'all different, like y'all different. So all of them, so I think the cat from Washington, like I wouldn't be mad at any receiver that's picked in this draft. Like if you get in a receiver anywhere between the first 1 through 20, I think you got a dude who you can depend on.
You got a dude who's going to play for you.
Yeah, who's going to play for you that you're like, okay, you know what? I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I think you're not going to be mad at the pick in itself. Now, I can't speak for how hard they gonna come in and work, but just watching them on the field, like the eye in the sky doesn't lie. They win one-on-ones. They win contested catches.
Who's your number one wide receiver?
I gotta go with Marvin, just because I'm looking at the film, the size, the speed. Like I'm looking at all those other factors.
Well, the speed is the concern. On tape, he doesn't come across as slow, but he also doesn't come across as fast. Meaning, he gets the ball, he's not running away from people. And that's where they're talking about Neighbors elevating him, because that's what Neighbors does.
Right.
They also say Neighbors, that way you blow on them. And Neighbors falls down, and Neighbors don't want the contact.
But Marvin's 6'4".
Marvin's
and
6'4".
I guarantee you, if Marvin runs the 40, he's going to give you a 4.3. Maybe it might be a 4.39.
No, I
guarantee you, he's not running nothing above a 4.4.
To understand, he didn't run in the combine or his pro day.
But nobody did. No, nobody. Neighbors didn't either. He know he doesn't have to.
Well, we haven't had a neighbor's pro day yet.
But I don't think he's going to run.
Well, he didn't run in the what he didn't run in the what's called, but Awuzie did.
I think Awuzie had something to prove, really and truly.
They talking about Awuzie would have been the number one wide receiver. He's that last good.
I think last year he was right.
If these other two cats weren't there, he would have been the number one wide receiver. And like you said, he had something to prove. But it is a little bit disconcerting when Marvin Harris Jr. doesn't run. But what I do respect is you sit over here and take ownership of your church. He says, you know my church. You done seen it. And if you don't know, then I ain't for you. Have a nice day. I'm not worried about being the number one wide receiver picked. I'm worried about going to the team that knows I'm the deal. And so he's chosen not to participate in what there's been a book written about is what some people perceive as degrading to athletes in terms of this machine
of the combine and all that.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, kind of like slavery where you're going to do the measurements and all that. And that's what matters and not the person. So I applaud Harrison when you're in that position to do that, to not participate in that bullshit. And I'm not going to sit over here and be there and stand up and all that. I respect that.
I got you.
But it gets a little bit scary though when you're in your own environment and you still don't choose not to do it.
So look, I think the thing that I remember, and I always hear Deion Sanders tell this story. He's like, the Giants asked him, hey, we need you to do this. And he was like, where do you guys pick? And they were like, oh, we're picking at like 7. It's like, there's no point. Like, I'm not doing nothing for you guys at the end of the day because I'm not going to be there at 7. Like, there's no way I'm there at 7. So I look at Marvin Harrison and I'm like, I kind of feel the same way. He's like, I'm going in the top 3 regardless.
Well, he's not going in the top 3.
Oh, I think he goes in the top 4. I'm sorry. No, he'll be the first receiver off the board, I think, regardless.
I think there's a good chance.
No, I think you can bank that. I think, one, because I think not only his name, but the performance goes together. I think in any other draft, Neighbors goes before him. Before, he goes for number 1. I think he just happened to come in the wrong draft, period. I think a 6'4 receiver who has good speed, good hand-eye coordination, goes up and gets the ball. I think because of a receiver like Randy Moss, you're never going to let that slide again. Randy went 7 or 9 or wherever he went because, oh, you got, you know, you tested positive for marijuana. You got, you know, issues. And you let this man slide.
And this dude don't got no issues.
Right. He has no issues. No nothing. Oh, yeah. You're going.
But just speaking of Dion's story is that the story of Dion running his 40 and, you know, shit wasn't as documented as it is now, but Deion sitting over here getting off the airplane, taking the limousine to the combine in jeans, take off his shit and go run a 4.2
in somebody else's shoes,
a 4.2 run and a 4.2
take my stuff back to the helicopter or whatever.
That's a bar.
It is.
So what's so crazy is just real quick harkening back to his son. When you did that back in the day when ain't nobody was doing that, and you was like, I'm such a bad motherfucker that this is how I'm gonna play it.
You can only imagine.
I'm gonna go run it unofficially in jeans and run a 4.2 because I'm a bad mamba jamba and then jump in my limousine to go. No. Oh, that's a bar.
Hey, I mean, you know, you can already see his son swag already right now. He's like you said, on the sideline.
For the record, I don't partake into that. But I will say is I love confidence.
Absolutely. You got to have
confidence. It breeds greatness.
Especially at that position.
And they go hand in hand.
Especially at that position.
Especially
at both them. At cornerback, you got to have a lot of confidence because you're getting picked on all day. Mm-hmm. And that quarterback all the pressures on him. Mm-hmm. So as far as Shador, yeah, he got confidence. His daddy gave him that. For sure.
So you know, another thing that we're finding that this is a unique draft in is that we have a white wide receiver and Ladd McConkley and another white wide receiver from Florida who caught that one-handed pass that's like and then we have a white cornerback. And I mean, cats are sitting over here trying to act like these dudes is the bomb. You know,
think so?
Hey, ain't nothing that warms my heart more than seeing, you know, saying a white cat come in here and play with you know, positions.
Yeah, them skill,
you know, with us. Like that's always a Christian McCaffrey like cat that can sit over here and compete.
I respect Christian.
Yeah, I respect the game. But I do know sometimes these cats get overhyped, and it's so funny that that the wide receiver, the lead wide receiver, who has not been able to be at the combine, wasn't be able to be at any of the All-Star games.
You talking about Conkley?
Conkley.
Dude from Georgia, right?
Yeah, dude from Georgia. But he's already being thrust into the first round. And I can't believe – I can't remember a time where a player was hurt, couldn't compete, couldn't actually play because he was limited because of injury. And that injury wasn't used as a justification to drop him down the draft and pay him less.
Hey.
But this cat, some kind of way, it doesn't matter what his spleen was taken out. It's all right, hey. He looked good last year, so we got to throw and put him in the first round, and we got to rank him as the fourth.
Nobody thought.
I will say, buyer beware on some of these players that weren't able to do the deal through the process. And we're just going to put them there because on a hope and a wish and a belief that they're going to be some savior and some Christian McCaffrey. I would say it would make a whole lot of sense to sit over here and maybe suckle yourself a little bit. And maybe second or third round.
Maybe.
So you don't sit over here and give up too much for a player that might not be able to, after injury, compete with the very best athletes in the world.
I'm rooting for the corner from Iowa, the white corner from Iowa.
I mean,
your name is Dijon. I mean, you know, a white dude named Dijon.
No, that's not his name.
Yeah, that is.
No, put it this way, if he was that great, they would be trying to move him to safety before the draft is
done. Well, you know, that's automatic. That's automatic.
Why?
That's automatic.
Why?
We know why.
The biggest church is he's a quarterback.
We know why.
No,
we know why.
The biggest church is if he was a quarterback, you could blow him up more. They're moving to the safety before because it's just like even the NBA scouts is like, I can't be sold on that.
I mean, you know, I love seeing,
it's so funny. Some people be against DEI and diversity.
Uh-huh.
For me, I'd be for diversity.
I'm
in the NFL. I'm for diversity.
Just so you can
like bring the white cats on.
Please.
That can sit over here and play. So I'm excited for these cats. And I think that there is some value there. The twist is that the overvaluation of individuals based off of their skin color because on a hope and a wish.
Because it's a rare attraction.
it's a rare attraction. That's all good. Exactly. That's all church on the move.
Right.
But guess what? We all know as GMs, you only got a couple of
right. You only get a good 2 years before we start looking at you bad.
So one thing I can promise you is one of those three are going to go to the Rams. Remember, I told you that. Put money on it.
I'm with you on that
because Rams is kind of that nationalist team because you got Cooper Kupp, you got Puka.
Multicultural.
Well, what I'm saying is that they love players that are not brothers that are good. So you can guarantee one of those three players is going to the Rams.
So? Hey.
Right? Hey.
I wouldn't put it
Write it down and take a picture. One of those three players are going to the Rams because that's how they get down. And so I look forward to seeing them because I've heard nothing but great things. I haven't done that. I haven't crunched the tape. I ain't crunching no tape on them. College shit. I'm a professional. I like watching professionals, not college players. But this is football at the bar, not NFL at the bar. So I do respect the college game, but I don't sit over and do study on the college game. But I've heard nothing but great things, so I look forward to seeing these individuals into the league. But you know what? The NFL, like, what's it called with the money? Their cap hasn't increased the way it is because this game is not in a great place. And so it's so exciting to see the NFL as it grows and as it evolves, and that we have the opportunity to be here and to comment on it and to articulate. It's good and it's bad. It's bullshit and it's phenomenalness.
You're talking about all these rule changes? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that's where I was going to. It's funny that you said that. These rule changes. Because the game is constantly evolving.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing overall for the NFL. The one thing that I do have a concern with is that sometimes we can go too far.
Right.
Sometimes we can sit over here and think of what a quote-unquote attracts guests, attracts customers to buy tickets and to watch and viewership, and think it's all about offense, and don't think, like NASCAR, people don't want to see the accidents.
Yeah.
People watch NASCAR because the cars are fast.
Collisions.
But they also want to see the collisions and the cars flipping over.
You know you do. You know you do.
And in football, they are slowly but surely taking that away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as we are here now and we're at a time in the off season where all the teams come together in some remote place where there is not a team there. Mm. And they're in Orlando right now, and all the owners and all the general managers and all the coaches come together, and they're creating and improving and enhancing and tweaking rules to the game.
Right.
And so just bring to your point, what you said is it's funny. They brought the drop hit tackles,
the new thing.
Now, you played the game, you know, in college. Unfortunately, I went the basketball route. I love football. Football is my first sport, but I went the basketball route because I'm tall and I was skinny and, you know, I could jump out the gym.
Hey.
But you played football. What do you think about this new rule that they actually told players that they had to do when they stopped players from crushing other players, that they said, you need to now wrap and drop. And the NFL actually taught them, did videos and taught them to do this.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they found that it injured some players.
Uh-huh.
And so less than 10%. And so now they're talking about changing the rule. What do you think about that?
So I think the biggest thing is it started with the horse collar. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, all these rule changes really start when you see, like, a terrible injury.
Mm-hmm.
You had, you know, when Tom Brady got eliminated, he got hurt, like, the first play in the playoffs that year.
Right,
right. Because the player dove to the leg, dove at his knee, and immediately the next year you couldn't dive at the player's knee.
Mm-hmm.
Personal foul, you know, you damn near might get thrown out the game. You do it too many times.
Mm-hmm.
Then T.O. gets hurt. He breaks his leg. Dude pulls him down from the back.
Yeah, lands you're right. On his
leg,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Breaks his leg. Then all of a sudden, we come out with the horse collar.
Mm-hmm. Jameis Winston, that happened to Jameis Winston.
Same thing happened. So now the rule is evolving. So now they're talking about just the drop hip in itself, the way you do it. We're just trying to take that out the game in general, because now it's, you know, you're pulling the player down from behind, but you're landing on his leg. Well, you know, it's a lot of things that could go wrong at that point. I think the NFL is going for safety. I mean, you know, you've taken away the way people hit. You know, you can't have the crown
of
the helmet involved.
What does that leave the league? Like, how do you tackle? And it's so funny. All the defensive players are against it because they're saying, well, what do you expect? You've imposed all these rules in terms of what we can do. And this is what you told us we could do. And now you're saying we can't do that. What is now the option for them?
I think the options are becoming limited, you know, to keep it 100 with you. I mean, eventually at some point, it's going to be flagged, unfortunately. But I feel like when you make changes based on injuries, at least it lets the public know and the players know, like, look, I mean, at least we are looking into it. Like, we're looking at situations where this could have went real wrong, or it could have been a way worse situation than it was. It could have been, you know, a broken leg with a broken ankle. It could have been, you know, not only, you know, he tore just your ACL, But he could have, you know, tore your ACL, fractured your kneecap, and everything else when dude hit.
And time. That's happening, though. And it's, that's happening. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a violent game. It's always been a violent game. It was designed to be violent because that's what's exciting. It's gladiators.
So when you take violence out of the game, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think at the end of the day, you know, it's a, you know, give and take type situation at the end of the day. You're trying to put asses in the seats, but you realize if you water this game down, that's not going to put asses in the seat. So what do? At some point, I think it's going to plateau. I think just the nature of society in general, I think football was a game that was attacked because it was easy to attack it. It was violent. You had, you know, players on drugs. You had all kind of just wild stuff going on. So then you try to water it down. You try to police it a little more. You try to make it more acceptable to the masses. And that's what they tried to
do. But see, I don't think it's trying to make it more accessible to the masses. I think that what they were trying to do was trying to mitigate and limit the amount of injuries to stars.
Oh, as far as that too.
You know what I'm saying? So when Tom Brady got hurt, it was like, well, shit, we ain't got Tom Brady for a year. We're missing out on a star, which inevitably sits over here and reduces the amount of ticket sales, the amount of viewership. So it had nothing to do with trying to pacify the game, but more tried to ensure that stars don't get hurt. But I will tell you this. You familiar with PFF, right?
Yes.
Yeah, PFF, you know, that's a great resource that I use in terms of my inside knowledge of the game. And so one of the individuals in PFF that is actually from Europe, played in NFL Europe. His name is Monson. His last name is Monson. I think his first name is Steve Monson. And so what he likes to talk about is rugby. And he's been using the entire day on Twitter to show how an individual can tackle a big individual.
I agree.
Using the rugby example. Uh-huh. Now, my son plays football, and I wanted him to continue in the offseason to be accustomed to the physicality of the game. Uh-huh. And so I put him in rugby. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little bit familiar. I appreciate the game of rugby. Mm-hmm. And so what he was doing was showing highlights of people playing rugby and how they tackle without pads.
And they don't even get hurt.
But still tackling cats that are 220 pounds running, you know, the big Samoans ain't mm-hmm. fucking around. No joke. And boom, and how you could still tackle these individuals mm-hmm. at the hip, leg, you know, in between, just above the knee, just below the underarm.
Right.
And tackle them from that perspective. And actually, it's actually from the just above the knee to
right here to here.
And then you tackle them and wrap them. Like we were taught back in the day,
right,
to actually sit over here and get these cats down, to still be able to make a tackle on a cat like Derrick Henry, because a lot of people are saying we can't do that. If we can't do the drop, then how do we tackle Derrick Henry? That was the example that was being used, and he was showing examples on how they do that without pads.
Absolutely,
and so I do believe that there's an option to that. I think that the NFL kind of got a perception on what they wanted to do and then stopped looking for real solutions.
I think what you're saying is fair. I think the thing about the game in itself, like, again, like the game was marketed on violence. It mm-hmm. That's what it was. It was, you know, you got 11 gladiators on the field on one team and 11 on another field, and
violence didn't equal injury, and that's where the difference is. I think they're trying to eradicate injury,
right?
But eradicating injury takes away the violence. I think the violence is still important.
I definitely the violence is still important. Like I said before, that was the foundation of the game. This is the reason why this is the most, you know, highest grossing sport
in the world
mm-hmm. period, you know, mm-hmm. at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And outside, you know, of course, soccer, but soccer's international. Everybody plays it in every,
and it's not violent,
whatever.
Every time somebody get kicked in the face, but right, that's
you
know, the most
you might turn your ankle, whatever. And mm-hmm. I love soccer, play it to mm-hmm. this day. But there's a difference between soccer and football,
mm-hmm.
the real football,
but
yeah, in my eyes. Mm-hmm. And like you said, yeah, we made changes in order to protect stars. We always have. The quarterbacks, most quarterbacks are the stars of your team, mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10. Of
unless,
course they have
unless
the most
it's Minshew.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But I think that's a fair thing to say. I mean, so to take all that out, at some point I think it'll plateau. I think it's only so much you can do, or don't play tackle at all. And I think there is some truth to what you're talking about, because my son played rugby, and you know, I went out there not knowing. I'm like, man, but I seen the confidence that he went in to try to tackle people as opposed to when he played football.
Right.
And I was like, it has to be some type of truth to this, because right. at the end of the day, the way he tackles and you're tackling people that are way bigger than you, and you're not even shying away because you have a technique, quote unquote, that is designed.
And it's the technique, yes, that you talk about. Like my son, when he was playing rugby, it was like they was tippy toeing, and then they had a girl on the team. They had a South Pacific girl on the team that had played rugby her whole life, because, you know, that's a part of their deal. Mm-hmm. And she was over here getting it in. Like, I'm talking about, she was wrapping up everybody.
Like, she knew what she was doing.
She knew what she was doing, but also caught a concussion during the games and all that, getting hit in the head. Uh-huh. So there is some detriment to it.
But them Polynesians ain't no joke.
But they're not no joke. But if she could sit over and go in there, I mean, she was over there, and these rest of these cats was over there tippy-toeing, mm-hmm. and it was like, okay, there's something there that were to the, this young woman could do it. This young girl could do it.
Right, right.
If this young girl can do it, then the boys can do
it.
It's
confidence and technique.
It's confidence and technique, and that, but there is an inroad. There is a plausibility to being able to tackle without injuring.
Right.
And that's really basically what they want to do. They want to create tackling without injury. And I think the NFL as a whole would be smart to look at that sport, to look at it as a whole and define avenues and define opportunities, mm-hmm. that where we could teach our players, because they're playing with no
pads. They have like a little you know, little shoulder cushion, the same shit they wear in the NBA. Same thing they were wearing in the NBA is what they were out there.
The NFL players wear that same shoulder cushion under the pads.
Right, right. But I think the one thing about the NFL that you got to sell tickets. So the thing is, how you tackle is sexy too. So I might really and truly know how to wrap you up, but that's not going to sell tickets.
It's the boom.
Yeah, it's that
the boom.
The Legion of Boom. And, you know, nicknames like that. Like, I want to be known. I want to, you know, I want to get my jersey, you know, my sales up. At the end of the day, you know, sometimes a normal tackle is not the thing.
And I like sitting over here and allowing the boom on anybody but a quarterback, because the quarterback ultimately is where the fans come to watch. So I can still understand protecting the quarterback, but everybody else got to get it.
True.
Include my son, who's a wide receiver, who can go through the middle and get it and sit over and be like, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day is, like, that's what they signed up for. Right. That's what I signed him up for. That's what I was willing to go through.
You knew what the mission was.
Do that.
Before you
don't,
signed up.
And let the quarterbacks be in their bubble wrap.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else, what I hate, and what we might not do the game. Once it becomes flag, we ain't doing this game, though. We ain't doing this podcast no more.
Right, right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to continue to see us moving forward, you need to get the NFL and say, we're not prepared to go to flag football because these cats ain't doing the show no more, and that ain't going to work for us no more.
No, sir.
I'm just saying. So, hey, with that being said, I think we've got a great summation of where we're at. I'm
absolutely
so glad we back it in.
Yes, sir.
Man. And we're going to be back next week. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk some more football, because I can promise you for the next 30 days until we go to the draft, there's going to be a whole lot to talk about. And then mm-hmm. when we get to the draft, there's going to be even more to talk about. Mm-hmm. So it does not stop. And oh, yeah, the UFL kicks off this weekend. And I know I've been telling y'all, we were thinking about doing an offshoot channel just for the UFL, but this is Football at the Bar, which means that encompasses the entire game of football, encompasses college football, encompasses professional NFL football, and it also encompasses the UFL. So we will be bringing UFL content on this stream each and every single week, starting next week. Super excited about that. We're going to be bringing all the off-season game and knowledge and insight and so on and so forth as we lead up to the draft. And we're just going to be football everything all the time, every single week. We aren't going anywhere. We had a little bit of baby hiccup the last couple of weeks. Again, shout out to everybody that was looking out and was wondering if we was all right. Just a little bit of damage. Mm-hmm. Your boy is straight. We back here.
We back
in the mix. But with that being said, don't forget to like, download, and subscribe. Like, download, and subscribe, because we are getting in the mix of this football game.
It never stops.
It's a year-long deal. So we'll see you next week. I can guarantee you on that. Me and Chuckus, baby. Hey.
Woo! Just a little bit left.
Cheers.
Just a little bit left.
Church.